Deuteronomy chapter 18, our text is found in verses 9 through 22. Deuteronomy 18:9. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, They have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou shalt say in thine heart, How shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken. But the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him. Father, we thank thee tonight for thy word given to us by inspiration of thy Holy Spirit. We pray that thou wouldst, by thy Spirit, speak to our hearts and teach us thy ways, that we might walk in them and please thee. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. I think all of us constantly face situations in which we ask ourselves, what am I going to do? And we look into Scripture and we pray. Many times we seek counsel from others. And many times we ask ourselves, now, how do I know if the counsel that I'm getting is wise counsel? And Moses here prepares the Israelites as they go into the promised land by telling them ahead of time what kind of counsel they should avoid, also telling them what kind of counsel he's going to provide for them, and then telling them how they can know if the counsel is from him or not. And so we would like to look at these three portions of Scripture. Verses 9 to 14 would be prohibited sources of counsel. Verses 15 to 19 would be provided sources of counsel. And verses 20 to 22 would be presumptuous sources of counsel. First of all, let's look in verses 9 to 14 at the prohibited sources of counsel. Here in verses 9 to 14, we find a whole list of prohibited sources of counsel. And God says to the Israelites, I don't want you to try and get direction for your lives in this way. I don't want you to look to any kinds of divination, observer of times, or enchanters, or witch, or charmers, or consulters with familiar spirits, wizards, necromancers. I don't want you to get your counsel as to the future, as to what you should do in this way. you are not to seek this kind of counsel. And regarding this, we're not going to go into it in detail tonight because we have already done so. If you would like to go into further detail regarding this, I would recommend that you listen to the tape on Deuteronomy 1, verses 19 to 46, where we deal very extensively with the dangers of knowing the future. And so since we have already dealt with that particular topic, we're not going to deal with it again tonight. But I would just refer you back to that portion of Scripture and suggest you get the tape on that. But the Israelites here were warned. And notice that they were warned very especially. They were warned twice because it's repeated in verse 14 that these nations hearkened unto observers of times. And today, in our day, men call this entertainment. And even those that say, oh, I read that column where it's supposed to tell you, you know, what's going to happen and how you can be ready for what's going to happen today. You know, I look at it, it's just a joke to me, and I think it's kind of interesting. Many people, some people take it very seriously, and those that don't take it too seriously just say, well, that's just a little form of entertainment. I'd like to remind you that although men call it entertainment, God calls it abomination. And God says very clearly, all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. So don't even look at it, not even for entertainment, because it's dangerous. And God says it's an abomination because it can lead you into the disaster of missing God's very best for your life. And God says to Israel, I am using you to purge those Canaanites out of that land. And the reason they are being purged out of that land is because they have done these things. And so I don't want you to do these abominations. They haven't helped them because they are being purged out of the land for that reason. And these things won't help you either. And so do not get your counsel in this way. This is prohibited. The second thing we find in this portion, God tells them the provided sources of counsel. He said, I'm not telling you only where not to get your counsel. I'm going to tell you that I will provide the needed counsel for you. And he tells them this in verses 15 through 19. He says in verse 15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. Now, this refers, I believe, in a very special way to the Messiah. This refers to the fact that God was going to send his Son as his revelation to us of himself. But I believe it refers more than just to the Lord Jesus himself, because we read, for example, in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1, where the author tells us, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners in times past spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. In other words, we are told very clearly that down through the ages, God spoke to men by his prophets. And the culmination of God speaking to men was by the prophet, or that prophet, Jesus Christ, his Son. Jesus Christ is the ultimate revelation of God the Father to man. And so God here is telling the Israelites, I will raise up to you a prophet. And so God raised up prophets to the Israelites as they had need. As they needed to know God's ways, he raised up prophets to teach them his ways. And this was culminated then in the Messiah. So God did not leave them without a witness. And as Moses died, he raised up Joshua. And God provided men for the Israelites as they needed this provision. God sent prophets to them that they might know his ways. Now the people had requested this very thing, and he tells them in verses 16 and 17, this was in accord with their request. God began by speaking to Israel out of heaven, a voice from heaven, fire from heaven. And the people had said, no, that's too much. And God then gave to the people his message through Moses, his prophet. And so God reminds them, you wanted me to speak to you indirectly in this way, and so when I do this, you be sure and listen to me. I will send prophets, and they will speak. Now notice he tells them, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. In other words, God is saying, you won't have to go to the nations round about, because the prophet that I will raise up will be from amongst you. And this reminds us that we get our counsel from Christians, because it's impossible for a man who is not a Christian, who has not been born again by faith in Jesus Christ, to see things from God's viewpoint. And so it's very important as we get counsel that we get it from Christians, those who have been born again by personal faith in Jesus Christ. This is so important. Paul reminds the Corinthians of this. The Corinthians were going before the law, before unbelievers, to try to settle their disputes. And Paul says to them, what's the matter? Isn't there a wise man among you? Isn't there a single believer amongst you that can judge between cases, or that can make decisions, so that you have to go before the unbelievers to get your decisions made? You have to go to them for counsel? No, brethren, he says, this is not wise. In fact, Paul says, if you have something very difficult and you need some counsel, you go to the brother that is the least esteemed amongst you, because he'll be smarter than any unbeliever you can go to. And so you get your counsel from Christians. Make sure that they know me. And then not only that, from among brethren, but he says in that same verse, I will put my words in his mouth. In other words, we get our counsel from Christians, and we get our counsel according to the word of God. God says, I will put my words in his mouth. And so we want to make sure that they, even if it's a Christian, that he's speaking in accord with Scripture. And so here we have the requirements. It must be a Christian, and we discern if he's speaking according to the instruction of the Word of God. And we are told then, in verse 19, it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. In other words, God says, you get your counsel from a Christian, you get it from a Christian, you make sure that it's according to the Scriptures, according to the Word of God, and when you see that that's true, I expect you to do that. I expect you to obey, then, what you see from his instruction, that that is what Scripture teaches. God says, I then require obedience. Now notice what we're told here. God says, I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak in my name. And then he says, I will require it. And in the original there, the I is emphatic. Many times in other languages, the pronoun is included in the verb. And when the pronoun is mentioned in addition to the verb, it means it's emphatic. And that's what we have here. I, the Lord himself, says, I will require it. And so, as you hear my words, as he speaks in my name, then I expect you to do it. And it's a serious thing, then, if you do not follow that counsel. I believe that many times pastors are loaded down with counseling people who have no intention of following the counsel given if it doesn't happen to suit their fancy. And God here warns us. He says, beware. If you are not determined to do what is clearly shown to be the teaching of Scripture, then you're going to be in trouble, because this is very serious. Well, then, of course, we have the next question. How do I know that it is really from God? And Moses tells them, verses 20 to 22, he talks about presumptuous sources of counsel and tells them how they can discern that. Verses 20 to 22, we find the seriousness, first of all, the seriousness of giving presumptuous counsel. Notice in verse 20, "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die." Here we find the seriousness of speaking in the name of the Lord presumptuously. It's so serious, God says, that it's just as bad as speaking in the name of another god. To speak in the name of the Lord presumptuously and to speak in the name of some other god, some idol, is equally serious, and the result is death. And so here we have a case where God's name is used, but the counsel is not from him. And this is stressed here in verse 22. When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, and so he's speaking in the name of the Lord, but he says, "If the thing follow not nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken." And so we have very clearly it's possible for the name of the Lord to be used, but that it might not be counsel from the Lord. It might be just some bright ideas plus some Bible verses, but not really in accord with God's character. Proverbs 14:12 tells us, "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." And it's very possible that counsel be given in the name of the Lord, and it sounds so good and seems so logical, and might even have some Bible verses, but it not be in accord with God's character and be a way of death. And we are told here that the way we can tell, in verse 22, verse 21, "If thou shalt say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken?" And we're told here in verse 22, "When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously." In other words, the solution is you can tell whether it's from the Lord or not by what happens, what follows afterwards, what is the result of that kind of counsel. For example, today, many times young people are given the counsel that if they're Christians and their parents are not Christians, that, of course, they have no responsibility to pay any attention to their parents anymore. Now, I recognize that there are places in the world, for example, in the Muslim world, where if a young man receives Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, he's not only thrown out of his home, but if they are able, they will kill him. And so he must flee for his life. And so in that case, he is being persecuted for Jesus' sake, and he has to flee for his life. And the entire issue there is Jesus Christ. But in our nation here today, this would be very, very seldom the case. And many times when we think we are suffering for Jesus' sake, actually we're just suffering for our own bad attitudes. But young people are told, well, any man loves father or mother more than me, he's not worthy of me, and so don't pay any attention to your parents. Just follow what God says. Whatever you think God's telling you, you do that. And they tell them not to consider the wise counsel that they can get from parents. Parents who are not necessarily against the gospel. They're only against some of the bad attitudes that they're seeing. And so Bible verses are sometimes used. Any man love father and mother more than me, he's not worthy of me. And wrong counsel can be given. It's given in the name of the Lord and using Scripture. But what's the result of that kind of counsel? The result of that kind of counsel we find many times is shown by another verse of Scripture. And so we have here another portion of Scripture. Honor your father and your mother, that it may go well with you. And so we look at the end result of this. How does it go? What happens? How does it turn out? And we're finding many, many times that years later, young people are finding that they've missed God's best for their lives because the counsel that God wanted to give them through their parents was ignored. And the counsel that they received was not from God, but was a way of death. We find also situations where in homes where wives will think, well, my husband isn't fulfilling his responsibilities. And this happens many times in the areas of discipline of the children. And the wife thinks, well, he isn't doing his job, and I don't want the children just to grow up wild. And so since he isn't doing his job, and I, even hounding him, can't get him to do his job, then I'm going to have to take matters into my own hands and do the job myself. And after all, doesn't the Bible say, train up a child in the way he should go? If he won't do it, I'll have to do it. But what's the result of that kind of counsel? I think we find that children learn their attitudes from their mother. And just as the mother then becomes an angry woman, taking things into her own hands, then we find later on, when the children grow up, they become angry children, taking things into their own hands. And then she wonders, as they grow up, here I've tried so hard, and now they won't listen to me. And doesn't realize that the reason they won't listen is because they are merely copying her bad attitudes. And so, actually, there's no greater ministry that a woman can have with her children than to teach them godly responses to difficult situations. And that difficult situation in which she finds herself is her golden opportunity to show her children how to respond in a godly way in that difficult situation. And so here was a way that sounded good, but it was the ways of death. Another situation, the Bible says, man's the head of the home. So the husband thinks, well, the family's my job, and their job is to obey me. And so I lay down the law, and they better listen. And since I get a quicker response if I shout it louder, I just get good and mad, and then they listen. And you know, one of the things that teenagers say they wish the most for their dad is that he wouldn't get angry. The second is that he'd admit when he's wrong. And so, as a result, we find that Scripture is used, the name of the Lord, that the husband is supposed to be the head of the home, but it's being violated. It's not in accord with the character of God. Because God says that a true leader leads the way, and that the husband is to be the leader of the home, and he's to show the way. And the father then is supposed to show his children how to get victory over anger by giving his rights to God, and how to humble himself and gain forgiveness of those whom he offends. And so the very areas where he is meant to be the leader, he fails by misappropriating a portion of Scripture. And so in laying down the law, he failed to teach his family the most important lessons that they needed to know for life. Another one we might mention. There's a verse of Scripture that says, to the pure, all things are pure. And some people would say then, oh, well, what that means is I can watch any kind of a program and I can read any kind of a magazine. It won't hurt me because I don't have a dirty mind. And since I don't have a dirty mind, those things won't bother me because, after all, doesn't the Bible say, you know, to the pure, all things are pure? What's the result of this kind of error? One of the first things that happens is a man is not able to love his wife as he ought to. There's another result, is the diminished perception of spiritual truth, because we are told that fleshly lusts war against the soul. And so a man finds that he begins to lose spiritual perception. The Lord Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And so that means that as we pour fleshly lusts into our mind, we are less and less able to see God, to see Him in His holiness, to see His character, to see life as He sees it, to see His character in His Word. Another thing we hear many times, if you are dedicated to God, then you will go into full-time service. And if you're really super dedicated, you'll go to the mission field. The result of that is that we find many times men in pastorates and on the mission fields that ought not to be there because they've been given bad advice. What is full-time service? Sometimes we find men who, for years, have been battling frustrations only to discover that they were given poor counsel and they haven't found the will of God for their lives. And so whether a person is behind a power saw or behind a cash register or behind a pulpit, he's supposed to be in full-time service. It's possible to be behind a power saw, a cash register, or a pulpit. It's possibly behind any of those and not be in full-time service. But God's intent is that every Christian be in full-time service. Do you know what Paul says in Colossians 3:24? He's talking to slaves. And he says to these slaves, ye serve the Lord Christ. In fact, he even says he gives you your salary. Do you mean a person who is a slave and 24 hours a day has to obey what his earthly master tells him to do? Is a full-time servant of Jesus Christ? He better be. He's supposed to be. And so, whether in the pew or in the pulpit, we are to be full-time servants of Jesus Christ. And many times after years, a person will find out that they've been given bad advice. And so Moses here says to Israel, he says, you want to know, is this advice from God or not? Then look closely. What is the end result of that kind of counsel? That means you've got to keep your eyes open. You have to look around. You have to really want to know God's will. You have to really want to know God's ways. You just can't wait till a problem comes and then get a bright idea and say, oh yeah, well maybe there's a scripture that'll back that up. We need to be in the Word of God, searching out the ways of God, that we might be able to see the counsel that is of God. And so someone might come to us and speak in the name of the Lord. Might be a Christian and say, oh, the Bible says this. Might just be, as we sometimes say, off the top of his head. We better check out. What's the end result? What comes to pass after a person follows that kind of counsel? What's the end result? Do we see God's blessing on those that are following that kind of counsel? Or do we see that that kind of counsel leads to the ways of death? Oh, the disaster in the lives of God's people, in our homes and in our churches, because of unwise counsel, unscriptural counsel, because it's so easy for God's people to give counsel presumptuously. And what happens then is that the unsaved look around and they say, oh, God's ways aren't so great after all. They aren't actually seeing God's ways. They're seeing the results of presumptuous counsel. God's ways are good ways, and they lead to life. And so God tells us we need to look carefully to determine if they are His ways or not. In Scripture, I came across an interesting verse in Psalm 119, verse 29. David says, "Remove from me the false way." Your King James says ways of lying, but a more literal translation would be the false way. "Remove from me the false way, and grant me thy law," or thy way, "graciously." And so we need to be men and women of the Word of God who know the ways of God, and then enjoy the blessings that those ways bring by gaining wise counsel and then obeying that wise counsel when we discover it. So we pray. Father, we thank you tonight that you have given us very clearly here in your word counsel that we need to avoid. You've promised to bring to us wise counsel, and you've told us how to discern it. We pray that we might be cautious Christians, not just going merrily on our way and having a couple of minutes devotions now and then, that we might be serious Christians, looking into the Word of God and seeking what are God's ways, that we might have wise counsel for our lives. We know that then this kind of counsel will bring great blessing into our lives. We thank you that you've made this provision. In Jesus' name, amen.